listeners, it's Jen. I hope you're enjoying season four of What Are You Listening To? This week, I'm back with a new installment of What Are You Listening To? Time Capsule. Waylit Time Capsule is just that. It's bits and pieces in the form of songs that are meant to evoke a certain time or place. I'm going to bring you a four-song playlist like always, but Time Capsule episodes are not interview style. They're simply meant to create a vibe or mark an audio moment in time. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Speaking of relaxing, it's that time of year again. Not quite summer and not really spring anymore, when the days start to get longer and the weather starts to get warmer. When that happens, there's one genre that I always go back to. Yacht rock. Love it or hate it, and only one of those options is correct. These songs are as cozy as a warm breeze on a summer night. When putting this playlist together, I really had to focus. Choosing only four yacht rock classics has to be my hardest task all season. Which songs made the cut? You're about to find out. And as you listen, if any of these songs are new to you, don't worry. We'll publish a playlist with the episode so you don't miss a beat. So here we go with a super smooth What Are You Listening To Time Capsule. All aboard for my Yacht Rock playlist. So this playlist starts where all good Yacht Rock playlists must, with Christopher Cross. My first song for the Yacht Rock Time Capsule is Ride Like the Wind by Christopher Cross from his 1980 album of the same name that really like broke him, right? This is the album that so many of his hits are on. And I cannot believe that it has been so long since it was released. This album has been a part of my life since childhood, since I can remember. And actually, Ride Like the Wind was the debut single from Christopher Cross. It was not Sailing, and I will also go ahead and offer a spoiler alert. There will be no Sailing on this particular Yacht Rock playlist. I opted for another Christopher Cross song that I think is actually a better tune. I think that this song is just endless. Catchy, and it's emotionally stirring all at the same time. Like, you immediately get sucked into what's happening. You learn that it's the story of a criminal who's on the run and he's trying to get to Mexico. And so I think that this song just really sums up all of the magic that is Christopher Cross in one song. Also, him collaborating with Michael McDonald on this track. I feel like Michael McDonald, who does backing vocals, if you are not aware, is as important in this song as Christopher Cross is. I mean, I think, you know, the hard part about all of these songs in the Yacht Rock collection is that if you're of a certain age, these songs have been on repeat for so long that it's hard to not be tired of them. However, Ride Like the Wind and the Christopher Cross Michael McDonald combo is one that I never get tired of. So this one had to lead the Yacht Rock playlist for me. I think this song also offers a lot musically, right? You've got the percussion, you can hear the bongos, you can hear a woodblock, the horns, the backup singers, you know, in addition to Michael McDonald, he has a whole group of like, ba-da-da-da, dot, 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 dot. Obviously, I was not one of them, but he's got that group of backup singers, obviously. He's got an amazing guitar solo on this song. So it really does have everything. I think that's one of the things that keeps this song fresh, even though, again, it's been on constant repeat for a lot of us since childhood. And I think, again, too, that's why Yacht Rock is such a crowd pleaser for everyone, right? Like, it was modern rock of the time for our parents. It reminds, you know, me and people my age of being a kid. And then my daughter, who's a teenager, just thinks it's silly and fun. Like, she listens to lyrics of some of these songs and is like, what are they even talking about? Like, this is a problem that this guy is like on the run for, sounds like multiple murders and headed to Mexico. Like, it really does. I think having a kid listen to Yacht Rock will definitely skew your perspective in terms of the meaning that all of these songs had to us when we were kids and now what they mean to our very aware youth of today. So I think that that, again, is another reason why Yacht Rock is such a crowd pleaser for everyone. And then the last thing I'll say is that just when you thought that there was no way this playlist was going to get gangster, here's a little fun fact. Christopher Cross was super dupes high on LSD when he wrote the lyrics to this song. This is his actual quote. We were living in Houston at the time, and on the way down to Austin to record the songs, it was just a beautiful Texas day. I took acid, so I wrote the words on the way down from Houston to Austin. So there you go. Those are the words of Christopher Cross. Like I said, you did not think that things were going to take a drug-fueled turn in my Yacht Rock playlist, yet here we are. The words to Ride Like the Wind written while Christopher Cross was on acid. So it's hard to top that, but from there, we're going to segue into track two. My second pick for the Yacht Rock playlist is She's Gone by Daryl Hall and John Oates. So this is from, I don't know if this was their first album. It was definitely an early one. It's from the Abandoned Luncheonette album in 1972. And there again, you know, Hall & Oates are another Yacht Rock staple. There are so many good Hall & Oates songs that it was hard to pick a favorite. I love Sarah Smile. I love Kiss. Your Kiss is on my list. Like, they have so many, of course, like Manheaters, some of their 80s classics. But I just love this one. This one feels like it fits firmly into the yacht rock genre. First off, it doesn't feel like some of their, some of their tracks that I think when you think of Hall & Oates, you think of more of their 80s music. This is definitely more of like a 70s vibe. And so I really love this song. And I love it too, because it really showcases how well their voices work together. I think a lot of people think of, you know, Daryl Hall sort of being the front man, but in this song, you really hear both of them together in a way that I think it kind of showcases the magic that is Hall & Oates. And I also too like that it's a relatively upbeat song, but it's still a sad song. Like, you get both. You kind of get both high and low emotions throughout this tune. And I love that about it as well. And for sure, it stays groovy throughout. Like, they definitely keep this one much more groovy, where again, as a lot of their popular music from the 80s feels really synthed out, this one stays super groovy. And I like that. And then, of course, you get the crescendo in this song. I'm always talking about the build up to a killer crescendo, and I think that this song is all about that. It all builds up to that ending, which fully, fully delivers. So again, this is a Hall & Oates classic that, if you're not familiar, if you're more familiar with their 80s music, definitely take a trip back to this album and kind of check out the mellower side of Hall & Oates. And while I'm talking about Hall & Oates, I definitely would be remiss if I did not shout this out as well. But there is a band called The Bird and the Bee. If you're not familiar with them, check them out. But they had an album that they released in 2009 called Interpreting the Masters, Volume 1, a tribute to Daryl Hall and John Oates, that is fantastic. It's basically them redoing a lot of really popular Hall & Oates songs, and their voices just sound amazing on it. So if you're not familiar with that version of Hall & Oates, the Bird and the Bee version, definitely check that out as well. That album is worth a listen. And in case you were dying to know what Volume 2 of their Interpreting the Masters album is, it is a Van Halen tribute, which also is very much worth checking out. So, little shout out to Bird and the Bee there while we're talking about Hall & Oates. So I'm going to bring us closer to home with the third track here. And this is, again, one of my forever tunes. Like, this is a song that will always appear on a playlist, will always show up among my favorites. It's just been a classic in my mind since I can remember. Since I can remember hearing music, I can remember loving this song. And it's I'd Really Love to See You Tonight by England Dan and John Ford Coley, from their Nights Are Forever album from 1976. So everyone knows that I love a story song. I talked about this last week on the Taylor Swift episode. It's one of the reasons I love her music. It's one of the reasons I love the Eagles music. It's one of the reasons I love a lot of music, is I do love a good story song. And I love the vibe of this particular story. It's sort of this, you know, no pressure, but let's hang and see where it goes. I mean, yes, it's not lost on me that it's sort of like a low-key booty call song, like, maybe not even so low-key, but it definitely is that. But the way that he phrases it, I'm not talking about moving in and I don't want to change your life, but there's a warm wind blowing the stars around and I'd really love to see you tonight, right? It's just a way better version of the booty call song, and it's way better than like, hey, you up? So I think that I appreciate that about it too. Like, it's just so real. You know, there's a part where he says, I won't ask for promises so you don't have to lie. I think that it's, again, it really sums up those early days of a relationship, or maybe a relationship that's like a friendship, but teetering on the verge of, you know, becoming more than friends. Like, I just think there's a lot of possibility here within the song, yet it's still so real in terms of how he is projecting the predicament that he's in. Like, I don't want to make this serious. I don't want to make it a big deal, but it's a nice night. I'd love to see you. Like, I just have always thought, maybe it's the directness that I appreciate as well. But this song has always been a favorite of mine. Musically, lyrically, I just think that it's great. And also too, these guys were huge collaborators of their day. You know, John Ford Coley performed with Ambrosia and Three Dog Night, Lou Gramm from Foreigner, Poco, Edgar Winter Band, and then Dan Seals, who is England Dan in this band. He went on to have a pretty big career in country music. He had a big hit with Marie Osmond called Meet Me in Montana, also a great song if you're not familiar with it and you like sort of classic country. I'd say that's a good one to go back and revisit. But, you know, this song, again, it's just like a warm breeze song for me. I never skip it when it comes on, and it always makes me as happy as it did when I was, you know, five or whatever the first time I heard it. So I felt like this one had to be on my Yacht Rock playlist. I wasn't sure what other playlist I could fit it into. So it's landing here in the Yacht Rock playlist. And then to round out today's playlist, we're going to close down with an all-time favorite for dedicated yacht rockers. It's Escape, the Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes from his 1979 album Partners in Crime. So this song is mainly included because it's ubiquitous with the genre. I figured if I wasn't going to include Sailing, then I had to include Escape, or as it's more commonly known, the Pina Colada song. I mean, this song is like truly ridiculous from a probability and a lyrical standpoint. Yet the story is so good and the hook is so catchy that you just can't help yourself. Like, I feel like if you let yourself get sucked into the story, you can't stop listening until the end of the song. It really is like a great device to get you to stay with him for the duration, because you start, like, I think it takes a few bars for you to even realize what's going on. You know, he's reading the paper, and it could just be kind of a boring song. And then when you start to figure out, like, oh wait, he's literally writing a personal ad while he's laying next to his wife. Like, how is this going to go? And so I think that if you let yourself get sucked into the story, like, it can take you on a journey. The other thing about this song that is hilarious to me is that, and again, something strange that I noticed even as a child, is that I like that they both took out personal ads, right? It's not like a woman got done wrong song. They were so popular in the 70s and into the 80s, you know, like this sad, jolted woman story. And I love that she was out there writing her own personal ad as well. Like, spoiler alert for the song if you are not familiar, but yes, both parties were actually writing personal ads and then answered each other's ads. So yes, aside from it being incredibly not probable, and kind of ridiculous, probably a marriage ender, if we're being honest. I did like that it really was a pretty progressive standpoint that they both were involved in the alleged almost cheating for 1979. That was pretty ahead of its time. And also too, like, if you think that the lyrics are crazy, just know that the original lyric was supposed to be, if you like Humphrey Bogart. So it would have been more of like, if you like Humphrey Bogart, and I'm like, instead of Pina Colada, I'm like, you know what, then Pina Colada was definitely the stronger choice. I think a Humphrey Bogart reference would have really thrown me in this song. I'm not sure where it would have fit in. And I think it would have also dated the song in a different way, right? Not that a Pina Colada doesn't, but I think making it Humphrey Bogart would have made the song less accessible throughout the years. So again, I think changing it to Pina Colada not only made it a better song lyrically, but I think it also gave it longer staying power. And Lord knows this song has incredible staying power. It was the one hit wonder for Rupert Holmes, and it just keeps on delivering for however many years, almost 50 years now, this song has been delivering. And it was also the lead singer from the album. Then it kind of hit, I think, September-ish 1979 was when it was released as a single. But then it started getting popular around holiday time, which actually led this song to peak at the end of December and become the final US number one song of the 70s. This was 1979. So that's kind of also a fun fact about this song and makes it worthy of rounding out the playlist. And if it's been a while since you've given this one a listen, definitely revisit it. And I think, you know, again, if you could go your whole life without ever hearing this song again, I get that too. But for a yacht rock playlist, I just feel like you really cannot leave this one off. Well, that's it for my yacht rock time capsule. That's a hard one to say, folks. Thank you for listening. And I hope this playlist finds you living your best life and staying mellow. As always, please be sure to follow, download, and share this show. And if you love listening, drop a review on Apple or Spotify. Last but not least, to stay informed on all things Super Awesome Mix and What Are You Listening To, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Super Awesome Mix. Thanks for listening, and please join me again next week to find your new favorite songs.